K Fan 404. He's Kyle Gunther. I'm Ben Anderson. Coming up in 5 minutes, we're going to talk to Peter Vesey, longtime NBA insider, getting a breakdown on the latest at the NBA trade deadline, moves he thinks should be made, maybe some moves he thinks could benefit the Utah Jazz.
Oh, wow. Whoa, is she amazing. I'm looking at the latest issue of Sports Illustrated, Ben. That's the swimsuit issue. Huh. Man, I would give Chrissy Teigen my pin number. Woo, heavens to Betsy.
Isn't she a Utah native?
The best looking bikini in here is on 63-year-old Christy Brinkley. Look at that. Christy Brinkley doesn't look a day over 29. And she is in her 60s. Man, this is hardcore research here that we're doing.
Chrissy Teigen, born November 30th, 1985, as both my producers told me, no, at Delta, Utah. So you guys are fired.
We don't
line
have
up at the unemployment line,
when
boys.
When it comes to Teigen. Ooh, look at Ashley Graham there.
Why would I make that up?
No, I mean, everybody knows.
Of all people, why would I make
Italian,
that up?
She's a Utahian. No, I mean, this is hardcore research.
Married to John Legend. A legend of his own.
You know, lately, my wife has been laughing at a lot of my jokes. She's been rather nice to me. I think that might mean that she could be into me. Maybe she knew the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue was coming out. She knew there was going to be some competition. I don't know about you, but whenever I get the swimsuit issue, I always bring it home and show it right to my wife and say, here, look at these women. What do you think?
I bought a one-piece, hon.
Oh, baby!
One-pieces, I think, are coming back in.
No, they are. They're definitely in right now. Utah and BYU are both going to be fighting the same battle in spring football. Oddly enough, they're looking for wide receivers. They need multiple guys to step up. And I think both schools are going to have to wait till fall camp to truly find out the answers long term. Now, I feel more confident in the bodies that Utah has on campus. Raylan Singleton's a baller. He needs to step up and play to his full level of capability at this point in his career. But Raylan Singleton has all the tools. Alec Dana can be a guy at receiver.
C.O.C. Wilson made a lot of plays last year.
C.O.C. Wilson's a huge target. Kyle Foulkes can step up in this offense. Troy McCormick can catch the football as well. He's played receiver and running back. There's a lot of bodies on campus. They've got to figure out what their role, though, is in this new offense with Troy Taylor.
I think Utah needs a couple of guys, and I think BYU needs one major guy. Now, it would be nice if BYU can go out there and find three or four guys to step up and have major productive years. I just think Utah, the way this offense appears to want to be run with Troy Taylor now as the offensive coordinator, you're just going to have a couple of guys who have to go out there and make plays every game. But you're not going to have Tim Patrick as the number one guy like you did last season. Though, who did he have? Cooper Krupp last year at Eastern Washington, who's going to be...
Cooper Krupp.
Might end up being a first-round draft pick this year. He was kind of that one-man wide receiver that Eastern Washington really relied on heavily last season. I'm not sure that's what he's going to need at Utah. Where in the past, you look at BYU, they have traditionally kind of had that guy. They've had that number one guy, Mitch Matthews, Cody Hoffman, Nick Hurts a little bit last year. That one guy that they can go to, Jordan Leslie, when he was healthy at BYU. That type of guy that they can go to consistently to get production from.
What happens to Harrison Hanley and Siale Fakailoa-Tonga, though? Both guys will tell you they would have felt more comfortable at less than 260 pounds years ago, but they've been asked to be around 250, 260 pounds to play that dual threat role. Troy Taylor doesn't appear to want a traditional tight end. He wants a rocked up wide receiver, as they call it, a guy who's maybe a little too buff to play wide receiver, but you're not going to ask him to block anybody. You might see a lot of tight end in the slot. I'm going to keep an eye on the tight end position. I think that's going to be the most unique now in this new system. Doesn't appear like Troy Taylor wants a fullback around. Look, Wallace Gonzalez might be the best athlete in the state. He's been that way for years. You hardly see this guy in the field. He's a former pro baseball player. Who knows what's going to happen to him as well. But, you know, maybe he and Harrison Hanley and Fakailoa Tonga can all drop 30 pounds this offseason, run better, feel better. Maybe it'll be a more natural position for him.
I'm not trying to be a downer for Utah fans, but there's also a chance that, remember 4 years ago, what the makeup of this team was? It was all defense, almost no offense. I mean, your defense had to come out and win every game for you. I know the idea behind Troy Taylor is to come out and shift that paradigm, shift that balance in the offense's favor. There's a chance it just doesn't work. And Utah's defense is going to need to be better than ever, which means you're going to need depth on the defensive line. You're going to need skilled pass rushers off the edge to come in and make a big move for you on third down to change a game. You're going to need linebackers to step up and be playmakers where you lacked them last season. And then you're going to need to get takeaways in the secondary. And you're losing almost all of your starters last year at corner and at safety.
But the defensive line and linebackers are going to be very good for Utah. Utah's going to be good at stopping the run next year, no doubt. But you're right, four or five games in, if Utah's defense has been worn out and they're giving up too many points, well, Utah's not going to be allowed to throw it 60 times a game after that. Then it'll be about ball control and trying to put the defense in the right spot.
All right, let's switch it up. Let's talk the NBA trade deadline with our next guest. You can find him on Twitter at PeterVessi1, longtime legendary NBA insider Peter Vessi. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Peter.
Oh, you're welcome. How are people like me in Salt Lake City these days?
Well, I mean, it's been a few years since,
now that I'm not writing.
It's been a few years since Karl Malone's left, so things, I think, everything's solidified a little bit. Hey, Peter, we've got the NBA trade deadline coming up tomorrow. Are there moves out there? Not looking at the Jazz yet, but, you know, the Jimmy Butler to Boston or Paul George to Boston. Is there a move you think could really shift the power in the NBA that could be made by tomorrow?
Well, I mean, I really don't know. As I told you online, I'm not, you know, hunting down stories as I used to. I'm not piped in at all. But, you know, I read everything and try to come up with educated, you know, opinions. I believe that Boston, you know, seeing that, you know, Cleveland is struggling and, you know, Love won't be back until, you know, a couple weeks before the playoffs. Will he be able to get in shape? You know, J.R. Smith out, the whole thing. You know, that bench is a little, you know, decimated from last year. You know, that there's an opportunity here to get to the finals. So, you know, in light of what the Raptors did in getting Ibaka, I would say that they have to do something, because, you know, when you're this close, you can't wait till next year. You can't. I remember when Flip Saunders was out of work, and he followed me on Twitter, and I said this, I'm not really sure which team I said it about, but it was the same exact thing. And he sent me a note, and he said, "You're absolutely right, man. You can't wait a year. You know, injuries, you know, egos, you know, whatever can happen in a split second." So, Boston, I don't know if they can get Butler, if they can get George, or, you know, even if George is available now. I suspect he's not available, but I don't think that's where he's going to wind up anyway. But anyway, I think they have to do something. I thought they might have gotten Lopez. You know, to me, they need a center and move Horford to power forward. You know, other people will say that they need shooters and stuff. I mean, they got enough young guards who can score. You know, with Isaiah Thomas there, I mean, how much is he going to give the ball up to his backcourt guys anyway? So I think you need a guy to really open things up inside. Love would be terrific. I mean, Lopez would be terrific for them.
What do you make of Magic Johnson running the Lakers now, and what kind of an impact could he have on luring potential free agents?
I don't think free agents go anywhere because of who's the general manager or even the coach. They go where they expect they can win, you know, fairly quickly. You know, I expect Paul George, should he be with the Pacers next year, and that's his free agent year, he has an opt-out after this coming season, I expect that's where he wants to go. So if they don't trade him now, to me they have to trade him, you know, next season at some point, you know, maybe next February or even earlier, because then, you know, you really don't have too many options in February. So the time would be during the off season. So if he goes to the Lakers next year or whenever, and Magic gets him, is he going to get credit for that? I guess he is, but, you know, even in my reduced, you know, vastly reduced role in the NBA, I'm hearing that's where he wants to go. So Magic might really luck out. I thought he made a really good deal, in trading Lou Williams for a number one pick because you want your young guys to play. Get him as much time as possible. Why did they sign Williams? I love Williams. I think he's going to be great for Houston. But why bring him in? Why bring him in when you got all this young talent and he's taking away their minutes and their shots? And so I know they were trying to move him before he got there. That trade probably was on the table, and he just said yes. But good move. Got a number one pick. Yeah. Okay. Now, how does Magic, let's see. You know, Magic's kind of in the same position as Phil Jackson or Donnie Walsh when they came to New York, when they had these ridiculous contracts that Kupchak and Jim Buss gave Mozgov and Luol Deng. Preposterous. You know, you don't give 17, 16, 17, 18 million dollars for 4 years to guys who aren't impact players. You know, and Deng was on the downside, you know, a year or two ago, played so many minutes in his career. Why would you do that? I'm not writing, but remember somebody interviewed me, Spanish paper interviewed me. I kill those signings. They're ridiculous. Jeannie Buss, she said it yesterday that she did it too late. She did. She did it. She should have gotten rid of her brother and Kupchak last summer before they could make this crazy, these two crazy moves. So can Magic get rid of those two contracts?
Peter Vessi's well, our guest. I'm sorry, Peter.
He might have to give up one of his young players with those guys to get rid of them. I mean, what if he said to Indiana, I will give you Ingram and Mozgov for Ingram and, because Mozgov, I say Mozgov because Donnie Walsh liked him. He had him in New York. They're looking for a center so they can move Turner to power forward. You know, who knows? Ingram, and then bring George in. And that'd be a pretty good move, Ingram for George for the Pacers, because now they got a young guy who's not going anywhere. He'd be real good next to Turner. So that's just from a distance.
Peter, do you think anyone's going to regret not offering more to get Boogie Cousins, or will New Orleans end up being the team that regrets adding him?
You know, Cousins. Look, everybody's down in New Orleans very enthused about him. One of my contacts sent me a note about, he was grinning. He was grinning from ear to ear that people are so ecstatic to have him there. And I wrote him back. I said, I'm laughing out loud. I said, because I don't, his talent, and he's, great talent, but to me, his talent does not compensate for his attitude and his demeanor and, the way he yells at teammates, just puts on a temper tantrum almost every time down court. And I said to the guy, I said, I wouldn't want to coach him. I wouldn't want to play with him, and I wouldn't want to pay to see him play. So, sure, he might turn out really well, playing with his Kentucky guy. And, they certainly should complement each other. This guy's a loose cannon, and, I got to believe he's committed to them for next year. Why would you make that trade otherwise? So we'll see, Mr. Cousins. Cousins should only be allowed to play in Olympics every 4 years when there are better players around him, and then he behaves himself. And Coach K coaches, of course.
You can find him on Twitter at PeterVessi1, longtime NBA insider. Peter, really an honor. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome. Take care.
There he is, Peter Vessi, giving us a good breakdown on the NBA and just kind of some of the big picture stuff. I mean, Peter Vessi is a throwback. I mean, I remember growing up the NBA on NBC, watching him in the 90s, giving the business to Karl Malone, giving the business to pretty much everybody out there. I mean, he is as controversial an NBA guy as there is, but obviously he's very memorable.
Remember, that's also a time when journalism was different.
Right.
Journalism was based on sources that you truly had, and there was no internet, there was no email, so you had to pick up the phone and call guys in Chicago if you wanted news on the Bulls, or Boston if you wanted news on the Celtics.
Or stick a microphone in front of their face on live TV and try and get that reaction.
And that's the reason why these guys kind of have that different edge. It's because they really were the pillars for journalism.
Yep.
Brad Brock, for example, now a beloved member of the community here for the Des News, over 100 years old is Brad Brock now, but many, many generations ago, Brad was that guy. He would pick up the phone every week, and they would have weekly planned phone calls. They would get together right. and compare sources. That's why journalists used to be valued in that sense, because they truly did have unique information. Nowadays, though, with the availability of every team and the 24-hour news cycle, the actual term journalist has changed quite a bit.
Sure.
But it's fascinating to think about a time when guys were traveling with teams. And so if you were the Jazz's beat writer, well, then, yeah, you might have received dozens of phone calls a week trying to figure out, hey, you know, what happened really with John Stockton and Karl Malone? Can we write about it? What's going on? What's the on-the-record? What's the off-the-record
story? Well, the old beat writers used to have, you know, everyone on the team's phone number, and you'd call them directly to try and cross-reference. And I know some of that still exists. I know there's still ways to contact guys, but I don't think it's in the past where maybe Steve Loom or Phil Miller writing for the Tribune would call up John Stockton and say, What happened on this night, or what happened here?
Well, you used to be able to reach over and fire up a guy's lucky strike for him, light a cigarette for him on the team bus after the game. It was a simpler time. And speaking of a simple time, it's always fun to go camping with the family until you're attacked by a Bigfoot because you're in a tent. What are you, a caveman? Stop sleeping in a tent. Get to the RV that you've been dreaming of today. The motorhome, the trailer, the toy hauler. They've got it for you at Terry's RV. They've been in business for over 50 years, helping Utah families enjoy the outdoors. Go by and see them today. 5545 South and State Street in Murray, or terrysrv.com.
What's up with that? Coming up next. Stay tuned. It's Gunther and Ben.
On 1320 KFAN.
Gunther and Ben in the...
Gunther and Ben, 1320 KFAN, 628. Kyle Gunther, Ben Anderson, happy Wednesday.
Former Auburn head coach Tommy Tuberville is no longer there in the state of Alabama. He was Cincinnati's head coach. He's had a long career in college football, but Tommy Tuberville is considering running for governor of Alabama. He was the one who was yelling at that guy who was yelling at him. He was yelling, get a job.
It was after the BYU game, right?
And then he lost his job about a month later there. Which local coach, past or present, would be most likely to win as governor of Utah?
All right, here's the thing.
My first guess is that there's an obvious answer here, and that's Ronnie Mack. Ronnie McBride okay. would win by a landslide.
I honestly think Kyle Whittingham has the temperament to be a politician. He's a little bit quiet, but I think he could kind of fit into that role. You've seen him bounce around the governor's office a couple of times. I doubt it interests him at all.
Oh, no, it doesn't interest him, but nothing interests Kyle Whittingham outside of chalk on barbells. But Kyle Whittingham does have this ability to communicate. He can negotiate, and he can fracture your forearm.
The guy I'd be most willing to vote for is Kalani Sitake. Bar none, I would vote for Kalani Sitake for any position in politics tomorrow.
I don't know, man. Kalani's a flip-flopper.
No, he's likable. He wears flip-flops. But, yeah, no, I like him.
No, he wears flip-flops. Saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he wears flip-flops. He, everywhere you can hear him coming, wherever he is.
You really think Kalani... See, I don't think Kalani has the temperament to be a politician. Kalani's too genuinely nice.
Oh, yeah, the
nice.
System would eat him up and spit him out.
Yeah, no, I don't think he could... I don't think I want to see what Kalani's personality becomes there.
Community organizer.
No, Kyle Whittingham is already gubernatorial in his behavior patterns. Don't you agree, though? Ronnie Mack would win by a trillion votes. No?
He could. I mean, he's...
Oh, he's unique.
I guess right now,
Ron
in the
McBride
political climate,
says,
I know this is not a political rant, so don't change your radio dial.
Oh, get political,
send
please.
Send me a tweet about how angry you are that I said the word politics on our dial. He's a guy who, once that mic goes and he doesn't read off the teleprompter, you just don't know where you're going to end up with him. And it's going to be great, but it could be a little bit wild, but we're not punishing that anymore in politics. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I just think you put him up in front and you let him stump for a little bit, and he'd have some funny things to say.
Tommy Tuberville's trying to potentially be the governor of Alabama. You know, he's clearly a guy that wants some power. He wants to be in that position. He doesn't want to retire to his hammock.
That's his policy.
He wants to go yell at people.
Just says, Tommy Tuberville, get a job.
Kyle Whittingham might... Maybe 5 or 10 years after he's done coaching, Kyle Whittingham might consider coming back and running for office. He's a guy that loves to compete.
Yeah.
and maybe that's a new way for him to put that energy forward. I mean, there's no denying Kyle Whittingham has a different makeup than everybody here in this building. Kyle Whittingham hasn't had an unscheduled day off of a workout since July of 2008. He's a 50-year-old man.
A guy who couldn't do it now just because he's getting up there in age, but would have been a great politician and beloved on both sides of the aisle, is Frank Layden, former Utah Jazz head coach. Frank Layden would have just been absolutely beloved as a politician locally.
I think another name. No, I don't think it's preposterous.
It's not preposterous.
No,
Peter Vesey. No.
Peter Vesey, no, he would win some sort of a competition there. He might be voted in somewhere.
Mayor of Chicago.
Mayor of Crazy Town.
Pure corruption, yeah.
I think Jerry Sloan.
Preposterous.
Jerry Sloan would be the last person on earth to throw his name into this mix. He would never want to be a governor of a state, but Jerry would win immediately. Now, one of the biggest names I can think of here in our state is Sean Bradley.
You mean tallest names?
Yeah, no, like I said, biggest names. He's 7.5 feet tall. How could you not vote for Sean Bradley? Whose name would fit on the ballot next to SB's?
Legitimately, in 15 years, I wouldn't be surprised if we hear Taysom Hill's name thrown around in one regard or another.
I thought you were going to say Karl Malone. No, Taysom Hill's not
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill, no, he can't win. He's not even a Utah. He's
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, all the rest of these guys we've talked about are from Utah.
He's an Idahoite.
Let's get to what's up with that.
He's an Idahoite.
Preposterous.
It's time to get a little weird. A little strange.
It'll make you say,
what up with that? What up with that?
What's up with that?
With Gunther and Ben.
What's up with that? Brought to you by Trilogy Medical Center. Go check them out online today, trilogymedicalcenter.com. Over 40% of their clientele is men. Go check out the man cave. If you've got those wrinkles forming on your face, your forehead, guys, maybe you want to regrow your hair, check out the PRP treatment, or if you want to lose some weight in some specific areas, they'll target it with Cool Sculpting. Takes an hour. You're going to love the results. Go check them out online, trilogymedicalcenter.com.
I didn't realize these pop-up businesses had become so popular. I've heard of doing something like this, for example, when you know Sundance is coming to Park City, you might put some display up temporarily to try to sell a product.
Always happens around Halloween. You see the little pop-up Halloween stores.
That makes sense, but I guess in New York, these pop-up businesses are so popular, people are just that they're patronizing them left and right, pardon the alliteration. But the latest pop-up business has some eyes popping when it comes to the subject matter.
As long as it's not popcorn.
That is a Pop-Tart-style pop-up business. Now, it's not
even
just
worse.
Pop-Tarts here, because, of course, Pop-Tarts are the greatest food ever created by humans. These are pop-up, Pop-Tart-style pizzas, Pop-Tart tacos, and other Pop-Tart-related creations.
That's just a Hot Pocket.
Pop-Tart fries.
Pop-Tart pizza is a Hot Pocket.
Pop-Tart tacos. Well, no, a Pop-Tart pizza has a Pop-Tart crust with pizza flavoring on it.
Yes, exactly. No, that's a Hot Pocket.
No, but Pop-Tarts make it sweeter, though.
Where is this?
This is in New York.
Okay.
It's a pop-up business.
And all you need is an electrical outlet, and they just throw the Pop-Tart in the toaster for you?
Well, no, it's a menu. It's a cafe that's got these items already created for you. But, yeah, that's a good point. Wait a minute. Can you get your items toasted here? Because I'm looking at some of these options, and they don't look warm. Although this Pop-Tart taco does look disgusting. Oh, yeah. The Pop-Tart salad is an interesting one.
Pop-Tart salad.
I see a Pop-Tart flavored shake there. Hey, I'm into this stuff, man. My grandma used to buy us a box of Pop-Tarts every time we'd come to visit, and I would eat the entire thing. I love Pop-Tarts. The best thing about Pop-Tarts is after you have a few, you get a little loopy.
You get sick.
You can call them Pop-Farts, and it's funny to do that, too. It's funny to
do you have a flavor of Pop-Tart you went for?
I was the brown sugar cinnamon
this
type guy.
This is a weird thing, but now as I've gotten older, I've started to like it more, too. I like the cherry still. I still go traditional
classic cherry with vanilla frosting. Sure, dig it.
What up with that?
Yes, pizza, cheese fries, nachos, tacos, and even burrito Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tart flavored, Pop-Tart ingredientated. All these different options are available to you at the pop-up store.
This is like the McRib. You know, they let it pop up for, pun intended. Again, they let your ribs pop for what is it, 6 weeks they do a run, 4 weeks, and they get rid of the McRib? Because no one actually wants to eat it. The same reason no one wants to actually eat a Pop-Tart burrito. But if you only have one chance to eat it, for some reason we feel like, oh, well, the supply is so low, even if the demand is zero, we've got to go out there and buy it because that's capitalism.
Pop-up businesses are annoying, though, because you have to be following on some sort of a social media app, get alerted, and then what? You're at the beck and call of a business. Whatever happened the days of Ronald Reagan when the customer was always right? Now I got to try to track down your van to figure out where you are. Oh, it's a pop-up alert. Now, where is this thing? I'm showing up to your business, and you dang well better be open because I want some Pop-Tart pizza.
I went and got Pop-Tarts at the store the last time I was there, and I had one of the two in the package, and I just thought, this is too much for me. I can't eat two Pop-Tarts in one sitting anymore. It's too hard on you.
Well, it is hard on you. And was it harder to tell your wife or potentially even your father that you still buy Pop-Tarts as an adult?
I have children that I thought might be. I've got a four-year-old now who's in that Pop-Tart range of life.
Well, you want to give him the Pop-Tart craving already? You should introduce kids.
How old were you when you were eating Pop-Tarts?
Oh, well, I was already a knurled and tough young boy. At that point, I was like
a
Spartan
warrior.
You were
a four-year-old, just like my son. Coming up next, football at 50.
Did you know me at that age?
Ole Miss imparts a bowl ban. We'll tell you what for. I think this number is going to shock you. Stay tuned. It's Gunther and Ben.
On 1320K Fan.
Gunther and Ben in the afternoon.
Gunther and Ben, 1320K Fan, 443. He's Kyle Gunther. I'm Ben Anderson. A very happy Wednesday to everybody out there. Coming up in 15 minutes, the top five at five, the five biggest stories in sports today in the state of Utah.
I want to talk about these wild sanctions here in just a moment coming out from Ole Miss and what may have led to this NCAA investigation. But it's worth noting a couple of schools here locally, Utah, BYU, obviously Utah State as well, they've kept their noses pretty clean when it comes to NCAA issues, and at least the University of Utah just got a pretty heavy audit that cost taxpayers $200,000 because of some fallout from nonsense revolving a rivalry game in basketball. Spring football for both teams at Utah and BYU is going to be one that's going to be without NCAA issues, but there's going to be some position battles. I think the wide receiver spots are pretty much wide open for both teams. I think Jonah Treneman's got a spot at BYU, but he just wasn't productive enough last year. Maybe Tanner Mangum will change some of that, but for Utah, they need a bunch of guys to step up. They need some new bodies to show up and be fast. There's some youngsters that Utah signed this year in their recruiting class that might come in and factor in. I mean, maybe it's Brian Thompson. I mean, he had a bunch of impressive offers. Maybe there's a guy in Tyquez Hampton who can show up and fill a role. Utah's got plenty of size at receiver. The question is, do they have the speed?
So let's get a little dorky here, and you're capable of doing this. What type of sets are we going to see from the University of Utah next year under Troy Taylor? I mean, are you just going to see five guys spread out wide in for Utah? Is that going to be how aggressive they are, or will it look more traditional like we've seen, just more instead of running the ball, they're just going to throw it more on some of those downs.
Trade right, Utah. Roll right, rub. I think the idea of five wide receivers sounds cool, and Utah might have some of that under Troy Taylor. But understand that that means you have no running back in the formation. You have no tight end in the formation. I mean, it's just the five offensive linemen, your quarterback, and then five wide receivers. So if you are running five wide receiver sets, the passing routes have to be very short. You don't get 3 or 4 seconds of pass protection with just your offensive line. What if the defense blitzes one guy? There's going to be an overload in some cases. There's going to be pass protection issues. So the idea of five wide receivers sounds cool. It sounds aggressive, but it's much more practical to run four wide receiver sets. You leave a running back there in the formation. Then you've got some versatility. We don't know, but I would assume there's going to be a base running back in the formation for Troy Taylor. But what if there isn't a guy that steps up? Hell, the last time Troy Taylor was calling plays, it was at Eastern Washington, where you can't recruit. And before that, he was at a high school for a long time. He was doing radio. Who knows what it's going to look like? He's never had this type of athlete at his disposal because he's not coached at this level.
Think we're going to see a lot of bunch formations?
Spider 2Y banana.
Did you just look up bunch? Did you just look up the types of formations? Trade right, Utah. Roll right, rub. Do you know what a bunch formation is?
Joking about. Yeah, you have three little guys stacked together, whatever. But you look at wide receivers.
Spider, two wide banana.
Well, no, okay, look, the bunch formation.
Right, it's just three guys lined up together. Fine, great.
You bunch them up.
You bunch them up
together. That's why they call it the bunch formation. You know, sometimes fans think that football is really complicated. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. But understand, the coaches have to make this thing as simple as possible, too. I mean, the signal for the left side of the formation is an L a lot of times.
Right. Well, again, it's
if you're running a play to the right, the play probably starts like Rocket or Ricky.
Troy Taylor told
us. Trade right, Utah. Roll right, rub. Ray.
He said, imagine his offense is an iPod and it's or an iPhone. The first time you look at it, it seems really tricky. But as soon as you kind of pass it around a little bit and everyone gets to play with it, everyone's going to figure it out really quickly. Now, it can do a lot. It's powerful. But it's actually not that hard to run once you kind of understand what the purpose of it is. And I guess in that sense, that's what Utah fans are going to be looking for. It worked at Eastern Washington. He found a way to rack up huge yards at Eastern Washington. If you can do that there, I would imagine the kids at Utah are also going to be able to learn how to use it. Now, whether or not it's going to be able to make up for the defenses you have to face in the Pac-12, I think that's where the question still lies about how successful it will be.
Well, now, the offense doesn't have the ability to just turn on some sort of a switch that the old offensive coordinators didn't have.
Exactly.
You can only go as far as Troy Williams will take you at quarterback. He's great at throwing the deep ball, but Troy Williams was not accurate enough in the underneath routes. He didn't have enough timing last year. And I think that's why Cooper Bateman might be a contender to take over for that starting job. Tyler Huntley's nowhere near ready to play. Jason Shelley's 30 pounds away from even being in the discussion there. So Utah needs a backup quarterback. Troy Williams had to play through an MCL issue earlier in the year last year. They don't want to make him do that again. That's why Cooper Bateman, I think, is going to be in the fold. And if Cooper Bateman's accurate on the underneath throws, then why won't he be in competition? He and Troy Williams have had the same amount of time to prepare for this offense. The entire offense has to learn an entire new set of terminology. And these guys are college kids. They got the academic workload to deal with. Then you got the new terminology. There's a lot going on there. And especially for the offensive lineman, you're balancing a very busy social life because there's a lot of females coming after you as an offensive lineman. I mean, it's hard, man. Your calendar's filled up. The schools used to knock on my dorm door, and I'm in there trying to do homework and junk. And they'd be... No, that really happened a lot. In fact, girls would oftentimes try to find out, you know, when I was around to try to neck and stuff.
We'll talk about Jamal Williams and his stock in the NFL draft coming up here. Our top story
happened.
in about 10 minutes.
I've kissed more women than you, JP.
Make sure to sit. No, it might not be true. Stay tuned for that coming up here in about 10 minutes on 1320 KFAN. Right now it's time for Football at 50.
1320 KFAN brings you Football at 50. BYU, Utah, the National Football League. Every hour at 10 till the hour, it's Football at 50 on 1320 KFAN.
Football at 50, 1320 KFAN. Crazy numbers coming out of Ole Miss. Ole Miss today, as they've been being investigated by the NCAA for improper benefits in recruiting. Ole Miss today announced that they are imposing a one-year postseason ban because they were offering recruits, not commits, recruits, $10,000 to $15,000.
Just one allegation here alleges that a recruit who didn't even sign with Ole Miss was given between $13,000 and $15,000 by boosters.
That ain't bad.
And good for these kids.
Right.
But my official stance is I hope every recruit gets paid, and I hope it's illegal as hell. Because college athletics really is the only major business that doesn't allow the employees to profit off themselves here. But this is why recruiting is quite a convoluted story, because there are some schools like Ole Miss, like Alabama, I assume, that have access to boosters with this type of money. Look, Troy State just is not going to offer you $13,000 in cash. But my word, you know, we heard stories of gift cards many years ago as being a unique way to get this done. You know, maybe you show up to a recruit's house, you drop a gift card out of your back pocket. Oops, I left that. Is that a $500 gift card?
Right.
Oh, I can't fly back in and get it, so I guess it's yours. Is that a malicious way to pay somebody? Oh, heavens no. I think it's a genius thing, but we were talking about several hundred dollars at that point a few years ago. If guys are getting $13,000 and $15,000 that the NCAA is finding out about, well, what's really going on? Are guys really committing to Ole Miss and Ohio State for dozens of thousands of dollars? I hope, but also keep that in mind. If you're a fan of a team not named Clemson, Ohio State, sure. Ole Miss here, if you're trying to compete with these teams, man, I mean, there's only one way to do it, and that's paying guys behind the scenes. You got to have plausible deniability. It's a very convoluted scenario here. But remember, these allegations broke because Laramie Tunsil's stepdad, who clearly was disgruntled about not getting part of his money, went and showed some of these conversations to the world, actually tweeted out some of these phone conversations where Ole Miss was just directly paying guys.
You're right. There was the $13,000 to $15,000 spent on one alleged recruit. One ex-staffer arranged for different recruits and some of their friends to receive impermissible merchandise, totaling approximately $2,800. One current coach had impermissible contact with a recruit off campus. A booster that owned a restaurant provided money, food and drinks to a recruit, and those that joined him on two or three occasions in March and January of 2015, totaling about $600.
Look, that's fairly innocuous, giving kids meals. I mean, I hope that happens all over the place, but there are sources here, and we don't know how much we can trust these sources, but the Comdice family alone, because there was two players that went to Ole Miss, the family might have received a quarter of $1 million worth of impermissible benefits. A quarter of a million.
Looking at this, we talk about a one-year postseason ban. I think a lot of fans would say, well, it's worth cheating then. You just miss one bowl game. What did that get Utah? $1 million? Here's the problem. When you give yourself a postseason ban or you're handed down a postseason ban, you don't just not get your money. You don't get any of the postseason money. Ole Miss, this is probably going to cost them about $8 million in postseason money that they're not going to get because the SEC is always going to send a team to the college football playoff and then maybe even to the college football championship game on top of the other P5 New Year's Six Bowl games that are going to be represented by SEC schools. It's a big hit. You lose $8 million for your school. People are going to take notice.
Well, and Ole Miss doesn't have anyone to blame but themselves for this, but this is the cost of doing business in the SEC. We're not just talking about a three-star recruit here. We're talking about guys who you can tell at 15 years old are superheroes, and they're being recruited this way. College football is big business. There's a lot of money to be made if your team makes the playoff here. So, yeah, I think Ole Miss will tell you it's clearly worth it, but there was a lot of eyes raised a couple of years ago when Ole Miss landed the number one recruiting class in the country, and since then, you look back and you realize that almost all those guys were alleged to have been involved in some sort of a NCAA impropriety behind the scenes. But remember, impermissible benefits are there to try to keep a lid on this circus. The NCAA can't open up a door to allow guys to be given certain gifts because Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Florida State, they'll always be able to offer more. However, at a certain point, you will see college football reach its boiling point and say, we got to stop limiting the haves. Stop telling Bama what they can't do. Let Bama just run that program. If the fans are funneling the money through this, I mean, who should step in and stop them?
There will be a way for players to get paid one way or another, or their families to make money, or it'll be put in a trust that gets released to them when their career is over. There will be something like that that has to be allowed, I think, for these guys to continue to be recruited and actually earn the money that they're worth. Continue to earn your own money by making a switch to the Dish Pros. And what I mean is save more cash every single month. I made the switch and I'm loving it.
801-424-DISH is how you do it. And Ryan can set you up today. Ryan, how quickly can you get people installed if they call you at 801-424-DISH?
My install manager's right here. He'll have you installed.